Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things. You don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Well, welcome, my listeners. My listening audience, Kingdom of God Ministries, we are on the air live. Hopefully you can join us. I will give you the call-in, guest call-in number if you have questions and just concerns or just want to talk. Our guest call-in number tonight is 347-850-1415. We would be happy to hear from you and share our broadcast with others. Tonight we are somewhat, you know, the country is in somewhat mourning over the incident that went on over the through the week. It's been a trying week, and we're teaching tonight on godly purity in an ungodly world. Boy, this come right in handy. And if you would see how the Christians presented themselves, no malice, no ill intent, all of them asking God to forgive the young man that did this horrible, horrible crime. So this is what I want to say to the church. We need to come together. If you could look at Charlotte, how they're coming together, black, white, all denominations coming together, seeking the Lord's face, saints, this is what we need to do. We need to come together as a collective body. We need to put down all this division, all this strife, all this hatred. And we need to be an example to the world. The world is looking to us, and if we can't get past our petty differences, what makes you think the world want to come in and follow us? We need to lay this foolishness down in the church. You get tripped up or bound up on some of the least non-significant things, rather than working together with people, you all about promoting yourself. We should be promoting God. That's who should be getting the glory and the honor on tonight. And this is what they have demonstrated throughout these candlelight visions. Praise is going to God. So tonight we're going to open our program. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for another day. Well, this is the day that you have made. We thank you for our listening audience. We thank you for those, Lord God, who right now they're at the crossroads and they don't know which way to go. But Lord God, I ask that you send your anointing, your spirit into that situation right now. Lord God, touch the mind, touch the heart. Let there be true repentance. Let them look to you, Lord God, the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh God, we just want to thank you. Lord God, we lift the families up that is grieving on behalf of the families that are now mourning and grieving over loved ones that was just unmercifully shot down while they were in the house of worship. Lord God, we ask that all the prayers that's going up collectively, that you just heal our land, Father God. We need to root out this hatred and this bitterness and this unforgiveness. Father, and let it begin. Start with me, Lord God. If I need to be a mouthpiece for you and proclaim the good news of the gospel, I'll do it. I'll go. But Lord, we just want to thank you on tonight. Amen? So I want to make a few announcements before we get into our teaching, Godly Purity in an Ungodly World. That'll teach in itself. But on the 22nd of July, Friday, on our Blog Talk Radio, we have the honor of hosting Loretta Johnson. She is the founder. Kim Wilson is the founder of Global Abstinence Project. She goes all over the world teaching abstinence in a godly manner. And why it is beneficial to abstain from sexual encounters until, you know, you are ready, until God give you a mate or your spouse that he wants you to have. But we're going to be sharing with her, and she also wrote a book also. So we'll be sharing all that with you. But remember, it's July 22nd. Tune in. You got young kids, teenagers, old people. Tune in. This will be very beneficial for you. And also July 17th and 18th, we are going to have a revival in Canton, Georgia. Amen. Revival has broken out here in the mountains of Canton, Georgia. We want to feel the fire. We want the anointing. Amen. We want to put away all the religious hype and entertainment. But, Lord, we just want to come together and seek your face. That's July 17th, 18th, 9550, Bells Ferry Road, Deliverance Temple of Faith. We will be bringing to you anointed, unadulterated word of God. Bring the sick, the lame, the depressed, demon-possessed. I wish somebody could have got to that young man before he killed them folks and cast them demons out of them. But Lord God, we seeking your face in this revival, so send forth the people so they can be delivered. Amen? Amen. So, question was, these are some of the questions that people ask in your everyday Christian life, which it shouldn't be a discussion, but we're going to ask it anyway. Can you be a Christian and have sex outside of marriage? Well, I can say it like this. You can be a Christian, so-called, remember I said that, and do whatever you want to. But the thing should be, is it lining up with the Word of God? Amen? So this is what they proclaim Christian If you are a Christian and you said you're a self-proclaimed Christian and you're having sex outside of marriage and you don't actually feel convicted, I didn't say condemned, that's two different words, but a born-again Christian, you're having sex outside of marriage, there should be some kind of conviction in your heart. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to be in a loving relationship. You can't be in a loving relationship outside of marriage. But if you're a Christian and truly rooted and grounded in God, and I'm going to get into there's various types of Christians. You got the immature and the mature. But as you seek the law of faith, God will reveal to you that he is not pleased with that lifestyle. Now, remember, I didn't say condemnation. I said conviction. Amen. When Peter stood up and he preached to the 3,000, he said they were pricked in their heart. Now, number one, when you get pricked in your heart, that means something is taking effect in there. So what they did, they asked Peter, what must we do to be saved? He told them to go and repent. So don't harden your heart when you're hearing this word. If you are caught up in all types of lust, and there's many, many other ways, godly purity. We're not just talking about sexual immorality or sexual impurity, but there's other things that make up an ungodly world. And as Christians, we can't be conformed to or fashioned after the things of this world. Amen? So an immature Christian might not be aware of what the scripture says. They teach about sexual purity. So it's possible that all that is needed for an immature Christian is good discipleship. You know, teaching them about the Holy Scripture, the revelation of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does when they come into your life, there's a change. This is the Christian who desires, listen to what I said, desires to live a life pleasing to Christ. I didn't say someone who go to church and just going by lip service. But I'm saying when you come into the holiness, you get saved, you want to know all about God. You're the one that sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. You eating his word up. You're getting books. You're studying. You want to learn. Amen? So as you begin to grow and develop, you begin to mature in your knowledge of God. And guess what? Your life begin to change. Old things have passed away. You put on a new man. Amen? On the other hand, there's rebellious Christians. They know what is right and wrong, but they refuse to do it. James likened this person to someone who looks in the mirror and immediately forgets what he saw. Because they're in a rebellious state of mind, and they'll say things like, well, God know your heart. Yeah, but you're fornicating. Yeah, but God, his grace covers everything, which it does. But if you know the word and you fail to do the word, then God is going to hold you accountable. Amen? He said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. We got a lot of people going around, or they don't hear the word. They just go into church. They lip service. They pew sitters, bench warmers, but they don't do what the word says. It'll go in one ear, come out the other. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, this is what James said, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and once forgets what he was like. James 1:22. Amen? Amen. So this is the phone ringing. This is live TV. Yeah. So he forgets what is in the mirror. And we don't want to be like that. That's the same type of person that go to church on Sunday. You hear the word. As soon as you get out of the church service, you forget what the word says, or you don't even apply the word. Amen? So this is what God is saying. Don't just be doers of the word and not hearers only. He wants you to get it all in. That way you won't be deceiving yourselves. Let no one say, this is James, he said, when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Look at that young man. He went all the way out of his way. He went out of his way to do this deadly, damnable deed. That's what he said. He said, but first, let no man say he is tempted. See, he was lured and enticed by his own desire. He had set that up in his heart. That's what he wanted to do. And it just goes to show you could sit with people right around the word of God. He was sitting there for a whole hour. That was the time then he could have repented. But he hardened his heart. Just like with Judas sitting right on the side of Jesus Christ, he hardened his heart. So it says, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then the desire, when it has been conceived, guess what? It brings forth birth to the sin. So what he did, I don't know how long he cultivated these thoughts. Some of his friends say he was going around talking about what he was going to do. See, he was giving birth. He was getting ready to birth this thing then, but he had to get his conscience built up. And then after he birthed it, that was the deed of killing all those people. So he said, notice there is nothing here about how the person feels. God don't tell you, well, because you feel like you're in love with somebody, it's okay to have sex with them. We can't be driven off what we feel about how sin that makes it sin or not. We got to go according to God's word. And another thing, when you're seeking God and you're a Christian, you shouldn't be asking unsaved people what they feel about what the Bible says. Why would you go to someone unsaved and say, do you think we should be able to have sex outside of marriage if we're Christian? Well, of course they're going to tell you, I don't see nothing wrong with you. Might just say, use some protection. How could you seek unsaved, ungodly, how can you seek the ungodly world for godly advice? They're going to give you a perverted version of how they feel about the thing. Always look toward the Holy Scripture. See how God, what God says about it. Amen? Amen. So what he was saying, he said, we shouldn't be driven by how we feel about sin. He said, but we should affirm whether it is true. Like I said, if it measures up to the Bible, if the Lord say don't do something, this is how we should measure what his sin is, by the Holy Word of God. In fact, if sin didn't deliver at least some level of short-term good feeling, it wouldn't even be nearly as tempting as it is. So when you're lured into sin, you're getting some kind of gratification out of it. But the sad thing about, sometimes you get in so deep that it's hard to get out. Amen? So as we mature, we should despise sin as much as God does. You notice what I said. That's why we talk about building godly and mature relationships. As we mature, we should begin to despise the sin, not the person, but the sin. What matters in our love for Christ, because Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. He didn't say your commandments. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And a few verses later, he said, 23, he said, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. So people say, well, you don't know my heart, but I'm looking at, are you keeping God's commandments? Are you walking in the statutes of what God ordained for his people? Now, I'm not talking about the person who just gets saved, because what you need to do, if you just got saved, you need to get somewhere where you're going to get the word, where you could grow, where you could mature. And the Holy Spirit, as we grow and mature, the Holy Spirit through, and this is in John 1:5-3, for this is the love of God. So How do you reflect the love of God? By keeping his commandments, by walking in his truth, in his word, by being consecrated. Sanctification, and that's a word that a lot of churches don't want to use these days, but sanctification means only set aside for God's work. Keeping yourself pure for God's work so he can use you, so that pipeline and connection between you and God won't get all clogged up with a lot of worldliness. You make that choice, Lord, I want to be set aside for your use. But are you walking in his commandments? Because he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. It's a joy to live for God. It's a joy to walk in the statutes of the Almighty God. God said, I come to give you life and that more abundantly. So people telling you, well, you get saved, all your fun going in. You won't be able to have a boyfriend, girlfriend. You can have a boyfriend, girlfriend if you keep it holy. And this is not a condemnation, but I want to say to those, if you are caught up in an ungodly relationship, you can make it godly. Do what's right. And if you're not married, you can, as of this day forward, you can repent and say, Lord, I'm going to preserve myself for the spouse or the mate you have for me. Because when I've tried it my way, going from partner to partner, it's not working. All it's doing is making me broken, fragmented. My heart is fragmented. So, Lord, I want to wait for your perfect mate for me. Amen? You can start today of being, keeping your godly purity right now. Now, we're coming out of Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:22, and the King James Version reads, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, amen, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of pure heart, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid. He said, knowing that they do gender strife, so you want to avoid any foolishness, gesturing and all that. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance. This is what they were asking the young man to do today. Repent. You just slaughtered 9 people. You're standing up there unremorseful. Cold. God can't penetrate your heart until you give him your heart. Repentance, to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. That young man is in captivity. He's bound by a spirit of hatred. You don't want to be called captive. That's why our main thing is he came to set the captives free. God is the one that breaks the yoke off your life. If you're caught up in all type of sexual fornication and adultery, God can break that off your life. As we mature in our knowledge of Christ by his Holy Spirit, we read the scriptures and they began to go under transformation. Our hearts go under a transformation, changing. As you learn, as you grow, your heart began to change more and more and more. And you'll find yourself, things that you used to do, you won't do anymore. We used to sing old songs, things I used to do, I don't do anymore. Why? Because there's a transformation in your heart. God is coming in your heart. He's changing some things. That old man is being done away. You're a new man. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You'll grow both in your desire and power to live holy. So the Holy Spirit will give you strength to live holy, righteous, set aside for God. You won't even find yourself certain things you don't want to do. Amen? The process, that's the process of sanctification. We have to seek him. you know, as we seek him on a regular basis, then we grow. But if you don't seek him on a regular basis, your love going to grow cold. And you'll fall into disobedience and rebellion. So you want to flip that around. If you are walking in rebellion and disobedience, you want to change that today and ask God to come into your heart. And these are some of the things we taught last 2 weeks. You have to be careful who you call your friend, who you're hanging with. Because your friend, if it's your friend and he's not godly or she's not godly, they're going to tell you ungodly things that's going to pull you away from the love of Jesus Christ. Because they don't know God. But you know God. You was once in God. You lived for God. You was once the usher. You was once the choir boy. You used to preach. You used to teach. How are you going to look to an ungodly world to give you godly advice? We need to repent. We need to make it right. Amen? So these are some of the things you ask. Is your friend a Christian? Is he not a Christian? Do he know the Lord? Do he understand the scripture? Or is he rebelling against them? I tell you, before you get into any relationships, you need to be finding out some of these questions. Hello, women, men, you're a godly man, you need to be finding out. Do they know God? Do they know? Do they want to read his word? Do we study together? Do they want to pray together? Or are they pulling me away from God? Let's go to the club. Let's do this. Let's do that. You have to be careful who you call your friend, because sometimes people come in your life just to pull you away from the truth. And if you have no root or grounded in truth, they can pull you away from the word of God. Amen. And we don't want that for anyone. We want to see you grow. We want to see you mature, develop, and be able to go and help others to grow and be strengthened in the things of God. Amen? Well, my 30 minutes is up, and at this time, I will yield the floor over to my husband, Bishop Bobby Montgomery. Hope you've been blessed, but again, don't miss the revival. Revival is coming to Canton, and we want to see your beautiful faces there. Amen? Be blessed, and God bless you.
Praise the Lord, people of the Most High God. Evangelist Montgomery just finished speaking, and I know it was a blessing to you. And I'm just going to go over some scriptures in reference to godly purity in an ungodly world. But I would like to say this. The world has its aspects of purity, but the aspects of worldly purity is much different than godly purity. I'm going to go into some scriptures and read the aspects of godly purity. Now, Evangelist Montgomery went through 2 Timothy 2:22-26. I'm going to go to three passages of scripture. I'm going to 1 Corinthians 5:5-7. I'm going to Galatians 5:16-26. And I'm going to Ephesians 5:1-7. I'll start here at 1 Corinthians 5. And I'll end in Galatians. We're talking about godly purity in an ungodly world. So we're going to cover a lot of things tonight, because purity covers a wide range of things, but it's telling the difference between right and wrong in the eyesight of God, not in the eyesight of the world. So here we go. 1 Corinthians 5. It says, it is reported. 1 Corinthians 5:5, so it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For verily I, as absent in the body but present in spirit, have judged already. as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So you see that? Saying godly purity. So he's making a difference there. He's letting the Corinthians know that certain things that is okay in society is not okay with God. There's a godly purity. Now, somebody might be involved in some of the things that we're talking about. But what we're saying is that when those things happen, you have to make a stand and speak out. For as the scripture says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Saints of the Most High God, we have to be pure, not just in church, but out of church. I remember what some of the old people used to say. They used to say this: if Jesus is around you, or if Jesus was standing right next to you, you'd have to be careful in what you do. You wouldn't do certain things in the presence of Jesus that you would do when you're not in his presence. Well, you have to live that life as if the Lord is there every day. That he's standing right there in your face. That's how we have to do. That's the kind of purity we have to be in. We have to act like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is standing right there in front of us in everything we do, in everything we say, and everywhere we go. That's how we have to live. But Paul said when somebody's involved in stuff like that, he said that you can turn that person over to Satan so that the devil can beat him up a little bit, and that person might repent, turn his life back around to God, and be saved. For that kind of stuff cannot prevail in God's people. I'm talking about godly purity in an ungodly world, and you know what I'm talking about, because a lot of this stuff that's happening in the world, all this junk, garbage, and perverseness that's happening in the world has crept into the church. And the sad thing about it, in many places, it is accepted. And these people doing these kinds of things that I just mentioned in 1 Corinthians 5 and 5 is preaching in the church and laying hands on people and praying for people. And they have foul spirits. But let me go to some other scriptures here. Ephesians 5, 1 through 7. He said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Ephesians 5, 1 through 7, Ephesians 5 and 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet-smelling savor. What do you say? The first part of godly purity is love. He said, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now look at what else Paul says here to the Ephesians. But he says, but fornication, I'm talking about godly purity in an ungodly world, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Now some people might think, a lot of people say, well, I have a good heart. God hears my prayers. As long as I repent, I can keep doing this stuff over and over again. Well, see, children of the Most High God, that is not godly purity. Truthfully speaking, that is not true repentance. Because when you repent of something, repentance means that you're turning away from something. 180-degree turn. You're not turning right, but you're not turning all the way around back to what you repented of. You're turning away from it because you're seeking godly purity in this ungodly world. So when you come to God, you are coming out of the world. What the scriptures say? You are in the world, but you're not of the world. You're not partakers of the conscripts or the manifestations or the actions of the world in all their perverseness and filthiness. Remember, saints, this world is not our home. We are just what? Pilgrims and strangers here. Our home is with the Father. Our home is with Jesus Christ. Our home, our true home, is in the heavenlies. Is in the new world that God is in one time and sometimes in the future, he's going to create a whole new world. That's our world. That's our home. But it's not immediately right now. So we can't be attached to this world. We cannot seek the purity of the world because the purity of the world, brothers and sisters in Christ, is false, is fake. The righteousness of this world will get you destroyed. You say the way of a man seems righteous, but the end thereof is destruction. So we have to be careful about how we deal with the world. We got to be careful about the purity that we have. We have to make sure that it is a godly purity and not the purity of the world. As I said before, the purity of the world is false. It's not godly. God tells us what purity is in the scriptures I've read. He said if you're indulging and different things, uncleanness, fornication, covetousness, that's not pure. That's not the purity of God. Filthiness, foolish talk and our jesting, that's not the purity concerning God. So when you do those kinds of things, you say you will not have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So think about that now. But God also said if you have these kind of problems and you're struggling with these things, you can ask the Lord to help you with that. You can repent of that. God will help you and strengthen you in those things, and you don't have to be a sinner like that. Before you got saved, you could not but help to sin. But when you get saved, you do not have to sin. You're not bound by sin. You're not tangled up and wrapped up in sin. Sin does not dictate your life. God has given you the power to live pure in God, and you can dictate to that thing. You can tell that thing what to do. You can put it under the blood. You can rebuke that thing in the name of Jesus, and it will have no power over you. Because Jesus Christ has given you power over all the power of the enemy. Jesus did that when he died on the cross. Because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you can live pure in God. You can have a godly purity in your life, even in this horribly ungodly world. All right? You can do it. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't live for God. Don't let anybody tell you that that thing that you're struggling with is going to take you out, or it's going to destroy you, or it's going to cause you to fall away. Don't let anybody tell you that when you have accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior and you are not of this world anymore, but you have a new name, you are a new person, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. As was said before, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have adopted a godly purity in your life. You're not dictated by the things of the world anymore. You've been bought with a price, by the blood of Jesus Christ. He bought us. He ransomed us. He made us pure in Him. Jesus Christ made us righteous. Jesus Christ gave us power. Jesus Christ gave us authority over everything that I mentioned. He gave you authority over fornication. He gave you authority over uncleanness. He gave you authority over covetousness. He gave you authority over filthiness, over foolish talking, over jesting. He gave you authority. He said, for this ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. We can do it, saints. We can be like Christ. We can live according to God's rule. We can live according to God's purity because He's done it all for us. Yes, He's done it all for us. All we have to do is obey Him, keep His commandments, and do what He says. He's already put the template out there. He's already made the way for us. He's already done the hard part. We couldn't do it, but He did it. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read some more scriptures to you here, coming out of Galatians 5:16-26. But look at this here. What we're talking about here is spiritual things. What we're talking about is things of maturity. Evangelist Montgomery, she brought out some things in reference to immature believers and mature believers. He talks about people who are mostly bench warmers and churchgoers, and she talks about people who were mature in the Lord. That was they weren't just going to church to make themselves feel good. They were going to church because they love the Lord and they want to do what He says, and they want to make a difference in this world. But you can't make a difference in this world if you're like the world. You can't make a difference in the world if you don't have godly purity operating in your life. All right? All right, Galatians 5:16-26. Now, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law, see? You're not under the law of the world. You're not under the law of the Old Testament. You're not under that law or the 600 and some odd different laws of the Mosaic commandments. You're not under those. You're under the Spirit. It said, now, listen to this here. It said, now the works of the flesh are much different than the works of the Spirit. But I'm going to read it to you because the things I'm getting ready to read, the world says much of this is okay. Much of it is okay in the world. But let me read it. It said, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. They start off with perversion. Sexual perversion, it starts off with that. Then it goes into other things: idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, what was just witnessed on the other day, drunkenness, rebellings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The world tells you that you can do all of that and make it in. The world will tell you that, you know, as long as you don't do some big, horrible sin, you know, kill up a whole bunch of folks or steal $40 million from the bank, or do some exceptionally heinous thing, you can make it in. You can be a relatively good person and make it into the kingdom. Of course, they don't say anything about repenting or accepting the Lord as Savior. They just say, well, you can be a good person and, you know, you'll make it in. But that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says, when you do those things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because those things has nothing to do with godly purity, and you're not pure in God when you practice those things. Now, when you repent of those things, then God doesn't remember it anymore. He doesn't. Why? Because you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. The Word says, as I said before, all that stuff has passed away. You've become a new creature in Christ Jesus. But if you say you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, you say you're pure in the Lord, and you're continually doing the things that God tells you not to do, and you will not repent of those things, the Lord said, the Word of God said, that you're not going to make it into the kingdom. It's simple. It's simple. Now, we're talking about godly purity in an ungodly world. We're talking about godly maturity in marriage. We're talking about all those things. But it applies to every aspect of your life. Now, I would say this. I can just about hear what's going on. Well, you're going to make them say, yeah, we all err. The scriptures say all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. But that was have. It used to be. You used to be a worldly person. You used to be impure before you came into the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But once you come into the knowledge of Christ, once you truly repent, once you accept Jesus as your Savior, and you truly turn away from the world, then you are pure in Christ Jesus. Now, you're not pure in yourself. Your flesh, there's no good in your flesh. There's no good in your flesh like that. Not according to God. What purifies you is your relationship with Christ and the spirit part of you, which has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord for Jesus. Because if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? Where would you be? Some of us wouldn't even be on the face of the earth if it was not for the Lord. Some of us would be dead in our graves if it wasn't for the Lord. But because of God, because of what he's done, because he placed in us a pure heart, he took off that stony heart and placed within us a heart of flesh that has been purified by the word of God and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me read a few more scriptures to you, but listen to this here. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Is love. First thing on the list. The fruit of the Spirit is love. We're talking about godly purity in an ungodly world. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. The joy that is not of the world, is not based on circumstances, is not based on whether you got a raise or you got a new car or you got a new house. It's not based on any of that. This joy is the kind of joy that you have when you're going through things, but you still have the joy of the Lord in your life, in your heart, and in your mind. It's a peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of what? Vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. No, no. Godly purity in an ungodly world will produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life. It will produce a changed life. It will produce a new you. It will produce power in your life. It will produce strength in your life. It will produce the ability to do what you could not do before you experienced Christ Jesus. Because before you experienced Christ Jesus, you couldn't exercise godly purity in your life. Before you received Christ Jesus in your life, you didn't have power to stop doing what you have stopped since you accepted Jesus Christ. All the things that I mentioned, all this ungodliness that I mentioned, you were bound to all of that. Some of you were bound to a woman. Some of you were bound to a man. Some of you were bound to drugs. Some of you were bound to alcohol. Some of you were bound to lying. Some of you were bound to stealing. And you couldn't help it. You couldn't stop it. You couldn't do it. You didn't have the strength to do it. Why? Because the flesh ruled in your life before you accepted Christ. But when God came into the picture, when you looked at the Lord and say, Lord, I can't handle it anymore. I'm sorry, God. Touch me. Help me. I don't like this. I don't want to be like this anymore, Lord. Purify me, Lord. Do it, Lord. I know you can. And he did it for you. And then you came out of an ungodly world. And you came into godliness in Christ. Now, you get in your word. You read your scripture. You pray to God. You ask for the filling of the Holy Ghost. You ask that the Lord to fill you with his Spirit so that you can get a greater understanding in your word and become more mature and mature and mature in the Lord, in the word, and fight the good fight. Put the enemy to flight. Mm-hmm. Exercise your power in Christ Jesus. Don't let the enemy rule your life. Because he'll do it if you let him. The scripture tells you he is as a roaring lion, seeking whoever or whomever he can devour, he can destroy, he can eat up. He is as a roaring lion. But who is the true lion? The lion of the tribe of Judah is Jesus Christ. And he has given you that authority. He has given you godly pureness. He has given you godly purity. And it's in your heart. And it's in your mind. And you have to trust, believe on him, get in your word, read your scripture, understand your scripture, study the word of God, pray to God. And if you don't have understanding, if you don't have wisdom, James says, you ask him for it. He'll give it to you. Children of the Most High God, there's much evil going in the world. There's much evil. But the word of God says that where sin abounds, or where evil abounds, or where the devil is acting and doing all kinds of things, grace much more abounds. The power of God much more abounds. But you can only do this through God's strength, through godly purity. Can you do these things? So, amen. We want to thank the Lord for his word. We want to thank the Lord for everything that has gone forth. And I pray that someone out there received a blessing from his word and what God has brought forth in reference to godly purity in an ungodly world. We would like for you all, we are having a revival, as was brought out earlier, on the 17th and the 18th of July. We're looking for all of you all to come out so that you can be blessed, healed, delivered, and set free. If you're bound, come out, the chains will fall off. If you're oppressed by the devil, come out, and that oppression will go away. If you're depressed, come out, that depression will go away. If you're possessed, come out, we'll get those things out of you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because he can do it. So, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father God, we ask that you bless your people everywhere that's listening to your word. Let them know and realize, Lord, that they have power and authority in and by and through you, by the Holy Ghost, by Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lord is powerful. It is powerful, and it has already defeated the enemy. Jesus defeated the enemy some 2,000 years ago on the cross, and we are still moving in the victory that he's provided for us. Father God, let us all move in the victory of Jesus Christ. Touch our minds and our hearts, and let us realize and move in the power and authority that Jesus Christ has given us. Father God, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, we come against all spirits of infirmity, depression, oppression. We bind those things up and we cast them out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we ask right now that you touch everyone listening to the word, that they would have revelation, that they would become alive to them, and that they would move in it and walk in the word of the Lord and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, we have Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock. We are inviting you all to deliver.